Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast.
We want to thank this week's sponsor, the Sunday School Store. 2020 has reminded us that ministry time is really precious. And that's why the Sunday School Store has their powerful children's ministry curriculum. Skip the gimmicks and go straight to the gospel. You can make an eternal difference even when ministry opportunities are limited. And as a KMC listener, use the discount code KMC25 and you're going to save an extra 25% on every purchase. We want to thank the Sunday School Store for sponsoring the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. You can find the link in the show notes or Google the Sunday School Store. Hey, all right. Well, we are going to get started in this round table discussion. And today we're doing this joint podcast thing. We've done this before with these guys. So it's kind of cool. We're going to go around the table and kind of introduce ourselves since we're going to be using this on each other's platforms. And my name is Tom Bump, and I do the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, or what's known as the KMC, and I've been doing it for quite a while and absolutely love it. I live in Worcester, Ohio. Really enjoyed hanging out with the Kid Ministry Exchange and on the Youth Ministry Exchange, too. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, and I'm Tom Pounder, and I do a lot of stuff with my stuff is YM Sidekick, and I do a lot of digital and student ministry stuff. I do a podcast as well. Everything's kind of at ympsychic.com, but I'm also the student and online minister. So I'm the student minister and the online minister at New Life Christian Church in Chantilly, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C.
And I am Steve Cullum. I am the student pastor at Life Bridge Christian Church in Longmont, Colorado, and also run the student ministry podcast. And also kind of blog on the side at stevecullum.com and a bunch of other places and things too. But yeah, it's been awesome to talk with you guys and excited to do that again today.
Yeah, well, let's have some fun. Orange has done it again. They decided to take the tour stop and change it into something that I think was really needed. Instead of just throwing a full online conference at you where it was all lectures, they wanted an exchange of ideas. And I thought that was really cool. I'm curious, what were your guys' first impressions of the KMX and the YMX? And when we say that, just for the listeners, I should explain, it's Kids Ministry Exchange and Youth Ministry Exchange. It was a 4-day online experience. 2 days were kid ministry focused, 2 days student ministry focused. And they're going to be doing a replay again in November. So depending on where this airs in all of our schedules, you still might be able to get a ticket, I think, and get in on the replays. And I'm not sure if they're doing any live stuff, but there's a virtual hall there, exhibit hall, where you can check out lots of ministries. Steve, what was your impressions when you first heard about it, them doing this online exchange?
Yeah, I was initially, of course, a little frustrated, not at them, but more just that COVID has again canceled yet another conference that I was really looking forward to attending this year, and looking forward to heading out your way, Tom, about, you know, in the Ohio area and everything, and getting to hang out with, you know, all you guys and stuff. And so it was disappointing that we weren't able to do it. But, you know, I think I attended the youth ministry leadership exchange a few years ago when they experimented with that and absolutely loved it. I think it was, apart from some of the DYM 100 kind of events, the youth ministry leadership exchange was one of my favorite events because of the exchange part of it, because we got to get in small groups and just talk about life and ministry and really grow throughout that event. And it wasn't just, about hearing information after information. We got that chance to dissect it a little bit with our peers. And so that was really cool. So of all the ways to do an event, again, I was really excited that they were kind of bringing back that model and doing that online. So yeah, it was cool to hear a bunch of, you know, great speakers as always. I do wish that they had done the discussion groups a little differently. At the Leadership Exchange, they were the same groups all 3 days long or whatever, and we were able to really grow and everything with those people and get to know them each mm-hmm. time we met. And by the last time we met, it was like we had known each other for a really long time. So this time it was a little different, kind of having different groups every time. So I wish they would have kept the groups the same, but everything else was great.
Yeah. And I'll say again, much like what Steve said, I was looking forward to going to the Orange Tour this year. And then mm-hmm. I was looking forward to also going to the Youth Specialties Conference. That I know, Steve, you've been going to the Youth Specialties Conference for years. I just started going back to it last year, and I had a wonderful time at the Youth Specialties Conference last year. And so I was like, man, it's possible they could still do this. It might work. And then when they made the announcement that, yeah. Well, and again, it was a little confusing too, because Orange already kind of pivoted. They did do something with the Orange Tour where they were going to make it different. And so again, I don't know what happens with all them, but I know they all intersect with Download Youth Ministry, Orange, and Youth Specialties. They all kind of collaborate together. Yeah. So this was a good thing to do. And I don't know about you guys, but I've heard about and I've attended a good amount of these online conferences since COVID hit. And I mean, I can't stand them. I mean, and so they're just like, it's just not good. I mean, a lot of them are not good. But what yeah. I love about what Orange did is that they took what they did from the Orange Conference. And again, a lot of it looked like the Orange Conference, and they made it better. And so they learned stuff from Orange, and then they made it better by implementing different things and doing a few different things. I did not participate in the breakout sessions. My week last week was quite crazy. So I wasn't able to participate, but I loved, the discussion groups. I participated in the breakouts, but not the discussion groups. I really missed on that, but I just couldn't swing it with all the things. And that's the unfortunate thing about these online conferences is you're still at home. You know, you're still distracted yes. by all these other things. And so I do think Orange made the best of it. I do love, again, the live portion I thought was good. And again, they've been experimenting obviously since the Orange Conference, and I think they made it better, and they had technology worked out a little bit differently too. So I was very pleased with it. I'm really glad I attended it. I didn't attend the kids ministry, but I did attend the youth ministry one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to add much to what you guys said because your sentiments are mine. I agree that I hate this pivot. and I hate the word pivot. I swear if
there's certain words, the unprecedented and pivot and yes, what are the other words?
Social distancing.
Tired of this year.
plexiglass.
plexiglass.
PPE. I don't want to hear that ever again. I mean, I pray this never hits for another 100 years, and then maybe we'll be in heaven by then anyway and don't have to worry about it. So
hopefully I'll be in heaven by then.
I hope so too. but yeah, I mean, when I first heard, I was pretty excited. I was watching some of the live feeds that they were doing from Orange headquarters, you know, and I was like, wow, okay, this sounds very interesting. It's still very fluid to them as far as the format or the topics and all of that. And, when I went through Orange Conference, I didn't even make it all the way through Orange Conference. I was so screen fatigued by the last day that I basically just was like, nah, I'm done. I don't want to miss anything. I hate it. I'm one of those FOMO people. I got to soak up everything and anything. But I was like, nope, I'm done. And I literally took off and went out to my camper and sat out in the quiet of the woods for a day because I'd had enough. So I was almost dreading that feeling again of, uh-oh, am I going to get that? You know, and I mean, they did promise some bathroom breaks. I love people at Orange. Please don't get mad at me for saying that, but KMX didn't have enough breaks. YMX was better for have at least giving me a chance to go grab some food and to sit. But I'll agree with you, Tom. The problem with these online conferences is that the conference, when you go, gives you that time to stay at a hotel and to hang out with friends and to have some coffee and to have discussions and to process, because I'm a talker. I process when I talk, and you don't get that at the conference. And now I did see somebody, and I don't remember which one it was, because they played a game with them or something, but they actually, their church put them in a hotel for the 2 days. And I'm like, okay, that's my strategy. If I'm going to have to do more of these online conferences, I'm telling my wife, I'm out of here. I'm going to a hotel for 2 days, and I'm going to, you know, because yeah, a lot of us we're working. I mean, I was with my brand new ministry, Restoring Leaders, and the KMC coaching, the two things that I'm doing right now, I had to keep functioning. And I can only imagine, you know, my job being more self-employed with these kind of things, I could be a little more flexible. But I was talking to a couple friends that they had to keep rolling with family stuff, homeschool stuff. That was brutal. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to find a great way to do conferences. But the one thing that I got to applaud Orange for was the interaction groups, the connecting time where, I mean, yes, it was a little random. I do like it better when you can connect, and it would have been nice to stay with the same group. But because one group I had, only two of us showed up. There were eight people in the room, but only two of us turned our mics and our cameras on and talked the entire time. So we had a great discussion between the two of us. And then a third guy jumped in towards the end. And I've actually had a couple conversations since the conference with that guy and with a couple others. So to me, that was really good. The Q&As were really good, being live, and they were able to take a lot of questions and stuff, and that felt good too. So I was glad at least that they did it. Is it ideal? No. Is it what I wanted? No. Do I want to do it again? No. I'd rather be back to real life. I'm hoping in April that, you know, we can all get back to Orange Conference and not be virtual again, because I can't do it.
Well, again, too, just to talk about the timing thing, you know, the Orange Conference was a long all day type of thing. They had a lot of stuff they had to cram in there. Of course, they had to make their quote unquote pivot, you know, so late because they, you know, the coronavirus hit and, you know, the Orange Conference was like a month later and they had a lot of scrambling to do. But again, for the exchange, it was like 11 o'clock to 5:30 or in that 5 o'clock range, at least Eastern time it was.
Yeah.
And so it was a shortened time and it was really succinct. And I love that it was shortened. I could do some work up until the time the conference started. And then when the conference started, I was able to focus on it as best as I could. So I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think format was, planning as far as the timing goes, it made it a little hard, you know, interesting. Well, I'm glad they at least started a little later for the West Coast people like Steve, you know. You didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. although those same people that probably complained about that were probably up at whatever time it was when The Mandalorian dropped last, you know.
Yeah. Of course.
So it's amazing what we'll get up for, right? So, anyway, so the theme, I'm curious what your thoughts were. What were your takeaways from the whole idea of here to play? Because that's what they jumped on, was this I'm here to play. And then each breakout, each speaker during the general sessions was all about I'm here to play, because there were some real powerful moments there. But I'm curious, any takeaways or quotes based off of I'm here to play?
I think I'm a little critical today, but but I think in the beginning, I wasn't sold on the theme, honestly, in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Okay. I don't know where you're going to go with this, but that seems very vague. But as it got going, I definitely picked up what they were talking about and what they meant by that. So in other words, it was more like, this is why I am here to do ministry. This is why I'm answering God's call. This is why I keep doing this sort of thing, even in the middle of unknown pandemic, all this different stuff. This is why I show up, and this is why God's calling me to show up. And so I definitely got behind that as we went. And I think some of the ones that really stood out to me, I think, were Kristen Ivey's talk about how we can learn to trust each other. Like the visual, it was very much like, I feel like she's learning so much from Reggie that she's turning into a mini Reggie. That every time Kristen speaks now, my ears are perked, and I know there's something really, really good that she's going to say. And as she was talking about the difference between anger and fear and shame and how that causes us to act suspicious, and then turning that using the Jesus's words in Matthew 7 to ask, seek, and knock, to then focus on peace and trust and love, and turning that into fascination instead of suspicion, was just, it was so spot on. I think as we interact with each other and as we try to figure out ministry, it was so spot on. I think that's just one of them that stood out to me. I think the other one was Danielle Strickland. She's another person that just every time she speaks, I am furiously taking notes. And just a way to like say that, like, we have to build something that lasts. And I think that's so incredibly important in this time, because we have been focused so much on numbers and all these different things in the past, but really we need to build something that's going to last and make a lasting impact. And the only way to do that is to focus on the right things. And what she said is like, how can our righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees? How are people going to actually pay attention to what we say and how we lead? We've got to be leading out, focused on the right things, trying to be holy and set apart, instead of just, you know, kind of going with the flow. We've got to be, you know, focused on that right thing. And for her, like, she mentioned that it's all about focusing on others and putting that everything about focusing on the others in our community and making an impact. And I think that's crucial for our student ministries, for our kids ministries, for our churches as we move forward, that the focus cannot be on what it has been for the last, you know, however many years. It's got to be others focused. How can we make an actual impact on our community? How can we serve other people? How can we love our neighbors? Not how can we build a big program?
Just to piggyback on some of the stuff that Steve said too, is like when I heard the you know, I'm here to play theme, I thought the same thing. I was like, wait, what is this? Like, what's the thing? In one way, it was very refreshing, because I'm tired of hearing how to do ministry in a COVID world. I mean, like, I'm tired of hearing all that stuff, because it's overdone now. But again, so here to play was fantastic. And I love just the different things they were talking about. I agree with Steve. I mean, Danielle Strickland is amazing. Anytime I have an opportunity to hear her share, I love it. And one of the things that she said was, this generation's not waiting for a proclamation of the good news, but a demonstration of the good news. And I think for so long, we proclaim with our lips, and then we don't demonstrate it with our lives. And again, the whole thing, everything I was watching and experiencing over the 2 days with the Youth Ministry Exchange, was it refocused me on relationships, relationships, relationships. Now, I will say this. At the very beginning of COVID, I was really focused on relationships, 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 because we didn't have any programs to give kids to or bring students to. And so I was focused on that. But then as we've been going, I don't know how it is in your all's area, but as we've been meeting more and more in person, and we've been making a push at our church to go back to in-person and programmatic stuff, I've lost sight of the relationship aspect, because I've been trying to gear up for this program or this thing. And my focus has been so much on program, and I've lost sight of following up with students and being with students. And so this was so refreshing for me to hear it, and to hear what the people had to share. I loved, Ryan Leake said this, and it really this is kind of how I've been thinking, because I'm tired of playing defense on COVID, but he said this, it's time to stop playing defense as leaders and start playing offense. We have to be intentional with our time. And I agree with that so much in the sense of we're again, rightfully so, COVID sucks and all this stuff sucks, but we can't focus on how bad everything is. We have to say, what can I do to reach students, in my context, students and online people, what can I do? And so I cannot make excuses anymore. I have to figure this out and I have to go forward. Mm. Even if it's a small step forward, I have to move forward. And they gave us some really cool things to do that. So I was really encouraged about that after the 2 days.
Yeah. When I heard the here to play, like you guys, I was like, huh? What? Nobody's playing anything right now. I mean, we just finally got Big Ten football back. Hallelujah. Sorry, I just believe that's the real football. So no offense.
I'm with you.
Yes, I know. Yeah, he's Penn State boy. I know. Sorry to all the other conferences, but you don't exist in my world. I'm just too much of a Big Ten boy. But I was like, what are we here to play about? What's here? And I loved how, I mean, because even when Ryan started, Ryan Leak kicked it off and he was like, I'm here to play so I can see what's possible. And I honestly felt like, whoa, okay. Now that I'm looking at that, and Joe Saxon was, I'm here to play because I've got a lot to learn. All of a sudden I started to see, oh, I got you now, Orange. I'm seeing, there was a lot of inspiration, I felt like. I mean, I would have liked, we'll talk about critiques later, but I mean, there were some times where I was getting like, okay, I'm on inspiration overload. I need some hows. I need some definitive. But I saw the inspiration and I was thinking about, you know, the average leader out there, how drained we all feel from we went from what we thought was a nice job description to all of a sudden that job description that has the asterisk that says, and anything else, you know, deemed necessary by the senior pastor or whatever, you know, we all have those hidden in there. I mean, it's like in the Greek or invisible ink, something, I don't know. Everybody's job description has one. All of a sudden that became the only thing on our job description because everybody's job descriptions changed and everybody's tanks just emptied. Because we had to go out and learn how to video edit and produce, you know, create content and to put stuff up online and to stream and to, you know, now we have to learn about cleaning, and disinfecting and social distancing, and we have to tape floor X's, you know, to keep everybody spread out. And I just felt like when they hit that theme, it was like, hey guys, remember, you know, not everything, COVID hasn't wiped out everything. It's just forcing us to rethink, and we're still here to play. We still got a battle to go on and fight. And these kids need us to get our heads back in and our hearts back in and our calling shored. And so by the end of the time, I was feeling very inspired and encouraged. You know, like I said, at first I wasn't sure, but I was really thrilled because there was some real, I mean, some big things to chew on. And again, I thought the theme was good. Format wise, let's talk just a little bit about that. I mean, I thought the format was very interesting, very similar to Orange Conference that they did back in last April. I think it was. I don't remember now. Got brain fatigue from COVID, I guess. I don't know. No, I never had COVID, praise God, yet. So let's keep it away from me. But the whole thing of the format, you know, it felt very familiar. And at first I was like, okay, I want something different. I want something new. But then, you know, it was kind of comfortable that they did their thing, you know, having speakers and then having Reggie or Kristen, you know, do some Q&A with them and conversation to unpack a few of the things. I thought that was good. What I really loved, though, was when they did the breakouts, having the live Q&A where there could be some more interaction. And I absolutely loved the individual discussion groups. To me, The discussion groups were Grand Slam home runs. I loved those. I got to talk to real life people, which was fun. I mean, even though one group we only had, I think there was only really two of us that ended up showing up, and then a third one joined late. I don't know if we scared everybody else off. But the cool part is I've made connections, and I've actually been talking to several different people since the conference already. We followed up, and we've already been talking on the phone, or we even Zoomed. I even got one guy on my podcast. So, I mean, it was pretty sweet. So I liked the format. Like I said, KMX was too jammed together, needed a few more gaps and some downtime a little bit. But again, I understand the timing issues. YMX, I felt like their format, they got it down better, where they learned a lot in the KMX week or days. So they were able to do that. But do you guys have any feelings one way or the other when you saw the schedule, and how that looked?
I think it made sense. And I think, you know, like we've expressed our thoughts about online conferences, and I think we'd all much rather be in person. But I think, you know, this is one of the best ways to do it, I think, that I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. But I think the discussion groups were definitely one of those, like, your mileage will vary kind of thing. Because I know, like, our kids ministry director was not in good groups, and she actually ended up checking out of the rest of those because her first couple were not so great. And there weren't any like clear leadership in there. And I think that would help some as well, because some of us, I mean, we all stared at each other like middle schoolers on Zoom, just waiting, like, hey, who's going to talk first? Who's actually going to turn on their mic? But then I was a part of other groups that were fantastic, and we had great conversations. And one of them, we just talked about Star Wars the entire time and didn't actually talk about ministry, but it was great because we need those,
right?
Times. Yes. Yeah. Just to sit back and, you know what, let's, you know, ministry will carry on. Let's just, and you know, have a fun conversation about Star Wars for just a bit. But I think they did the best they could, I think, for the circumstances.
Yeah. And I like the breakout with the live Q&A part too. And again, this is what they did in Orange. Again, I think it was a little bit better, but what I loved about it was a video, a pre-made video that was like 20 minutes long or some, it varied depending on what you're, and I could pause it at any time.
Yes. But note-taking was much easier.
Yeah. So it was, I really enjoyed that. And then they gave you a few minutes. Like if you've walked all the way through it, you know, they started the session after it seemed like everybody, I don't know how they determined that, but I really liked that. And then I enjoyed the being able to have interaction with that speaker live. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. All right. So let's talk highlights then. Favorite quotes, favorite breakout. What impacted you the most? And then we'll wrap up with like, what are your takeaways, or what are some of the things that you believe will come some action steps from it? So let's highlights first.
Yeah. I think, you know, other than the ones I mentioned already, I think, two of the things that stood out to me actually were two of the breakouts that I attended. One was, from, Stuart Hall, one of my favorite people on the earth, and so glad that he is doing better after all of his COVID stuff near the beginning of all this. But he talked about the impact that 2020 is having on high schoolers. And I actually ran it past our student group the other day, our student leadership team. And I was like, what do you guys think about this? And he kind of walked through how it's affecting the different age groups within high school students. So freshmen are often asking the question, where do I belong? Mm-hmm. But he said it's difficult to determine where you belong when school and church are all virtual. And he said sophomores are asking the question, why should I believe this? Or why can't I fill in the blank? But he said it's often difficult to flex your freedom when many of your freedoms have been taken away from you. Then he jumped to seniors, and seniors are asking, what will I do? But it's difficult to think about the future when the future is so uncertain. But then he moved to juniors, and he actually said juniors are the one phase that actually might fit this current situation pretty well. He said juniors are often asking the question, what or how can I matter? And making a difference maybe more doable now than ever before. And so I started thinking, okay, like how can I start to focus more on our juniors and help them to see how they can actually make an impact on the world in the middle of all this. So that was kind of some good like meat to what I can kind of step away from and really focus a lot on our juniors right now in terms of high school students. And the other breakout that really stood out to me was Reggie's. I've never been to a breakout with Reggie, so it was really cool to hear him in a different kind of tone, just walking through how to redefine our role as a youth minister right now. Mm. And he walked through how to redo your job description and really focus on all these different things. And I think it just really secured my thinking on how my role as a youth pastor should change in the future as we keep going forward, and how I'm not only, like we are not only called to minister and lead teenagers, but also to be an ambassador for youth ministry and teenage culture and families and everything within our church. And he walked through all that. Like there's a lot in there. We don't have time on the podcast to recap it all, but I really like, it was some really cool takeaways that I'll be rethinking how my job description is written and think about actually rewriting mine, coming out of this too.
It's good.
And yeah, I just say the last thing I would say, I love the fact that they gave us the prompt to think like, why are you in here to play still? And that actually, it actually got me thinking more than I ever thought it would before. After hearing all those people say those things, I'm like, okay, why am I here to play? And so that was a cool takeaway for me too.
Cool. Tom?
Yeah. See, I think the thing again from our church, I don't know what your all's churches are like and what you guys are focusing on right now, but you know, even before COVID hit, we were making a big push on discipleship, which I think a lot of churches in the nation were. And, you know, it's so funny to me, honestly, and I don't mean to come across as arrogant. And I hope it doesn't come across as arrogant. But they kept on talking about discipleship and relationships. And this is coming from the church down to all the rest of us as staffers. And I kept on thinking, I'm like, this is all the, you know, relationships is all what student ministry is about. It's about relationships.
Yeah.
It's about investing time with kids. And now you see that the time that we spend with kids is not invalid.
Yes.
And what I loved about what this conference did was it just reaffirmed that from a leadership perspective. Again, I actually, it's kind of like what Steve said. He's never been to a breakout with Reggie. I'd never been to a breakout with Kristen. And, you know, one of the things she said was discipleship is always relational. And it's like, yes, of course. I mean, like, of course, you know, but just to hear it again and affirmed, it's like, okay, what we do with students is that is discipleship. Yep. You may call it something different, and that's fine, but it is, you are investing in the lives of students and helping them see Jesus maybe for the very first time. And so whether you're playing video games with them or you're doing a Bible study with them, that has all the potential of discipleship. And I loved how that was affirmed. But what I also love that they did in this conference too is, you know, it gave you some practical digital stuff too. And that's what I thought was really cool. I went to hear Vince Parker. He's one of the Life Church guys. And again, because I'm an online guy too, I always kind of geek out on that kind of stuff. but it was really neat to hear him talk about online and the online perspective and what we can be doing with students on that level as well. So I think, like I said earlier, I took away just the reaffirmation that what we do with students and spending time with students and being in relationships with them, checking up on them, whether I'm texting them, hanging out with them in person or whatnot, it all matters. And so that was encouraging.
Absolutely. That was so good. Yeah. I mean, for me, the breakouts that I did get to, I mean, one of the ones that I knew it was there, but Chinoway Wilson, she's a grief, actual counselor, therapist. She talked about what we need to know about grief and just how children and students are both doing some, you know, just struggling with grief right now and loss. And so I thought that was one of those things where I think we as leaders need to do more research in and become more aware of and help our leaders become more aware. And so I think that's one of those things that struck me as, okay, we need to become more aware of the different kinds of loss and how it can initiate grief. Because the kids have lost a lot of things and they're going to experience and express it. So I think that was one thing, that, you know, because it builds on relationships. If you don't have relationships, you're not going to be aware of those things. And I think the other thing, and I'll kind of wrap up with this one, was just, I liked how David Jameson, the dope educator, as he's called, said it, that, you know, we're trying to clean a fish before we catch the fish. And sometimes I think we initiate things, we react to things before we actually, you know, we should be responding. And I think that was one of the things that when I realized that, you know, we're here to play, you know, because God's put us here for such a time. And there's so many leaders that are struggling with that feeling of insecurity. And I'm not qualified to handle all this. Yes, you are. And that you don't have to sit there and worry about cleaning the fish, just catch them and let God take care of the rest. And that to me was just a great way to kind of put it all together and say, yeah, I am still here to play. I'm still here. And when 2021 rolls around, we can all say we're still here. And we got this. So, any final thoughts, guys, as we get ready to wrap up? Last impressions?
I think the biggest thing, I just want to reiterate what Tom Pounder was saying. I think that's crucial. I think for all of our listeners, just realize that what you do really does matter. And I think in the middle of all this, like, it's really easy to get sidetracked and everything, but for my ministry and other youth pastors that I've talked to, like, there's a reason why youth ministry and kids ministry a lot of times are doing fairly well during this time, because it was already rooted in relationships. It was already rooted in connecting. It wasn't about, I mean, there's some ministries that are focused on the big programs and all these different things, but the ones that were already rooted in relationships are actually doing okay during this time. So keep it up.
Wow. Oh. Well, why don't we wrap up then? Again, if you're not a listener to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast, I invite you to do that. Steve, tell us one more time your podcast.
Yeah, I'm the host of the Student Ministry Podcast, and you can just find it at thestudentministrypodcast.com. And love just having interviews and talks with fellow youth workers and sometimes some kids ministry workers as well. And I have both of you guys on before, and it's always great to hear what God's doing in the lives of other youth workers.
Yeah, and I'm Tom Pounder at ympsychic.com. I've got some, I do blogging and audio and video stuff too. So it's always fun to do that. And it's always been great having you guys on my podcast as well. So, okay.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in these next few months as we wrap up 2020 and as we move forward into 2021. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to each of our podcasts. We hope that you'll share these. If you're in children's ministry, you'll share the youth ministry stuff. If you're in youth ministry, share the children's ministry stuff. Check out, I should have said restoringleaders.org or KMC Coach. Man, I'm not even plugging my own stuff. That's terrible. anyway, guys, it's been fun to talk Orange, and we look forward to seeing, hopefully we're going to see each other in April in Atlanta. I hope and pray hopefully for all that. Yeah. So thanks again, guys.
Thanks.
See ya.